Find your place at Psalm 27 this morning, our memory verse. Psalm 27 and verse number 4. And stand with me. Psalm 27 and verse number 4. Let's say it together, please. Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Psalm 27, 4. Say it again, please. Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Psalm 27, 4. One last time. Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Psalm 27, 4. And Heavenly Father, we give You this day now. I pray that You would just use us, dear Lord, speak to us, teach us, and help us to apply what You're teaching to our lives, that we might be able to go out these doors and to be better Christians for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're back over in the book of Exodus this morning. Book of Exodus, beginning in verse chapter 35, Exodus 35. As much as I want to jump right to the articles of the tabernacle, the brazen altar, the laver, the altar of incense, the table of showbread, the golden candlestick, the Ark of the Covenant, and the mercy seat, the brakes just keep putting on. So the Lord's like, no, you need to slow down and talk about these other things that are important as well. For as we've seen, everything in the tabernacle applies to some part of Jesus Christ and points people to Christ. So even though all the major articles of the tabernacle point to Christ, even the minor articles point to some aspect of Jesus Christ. As we've looked at the curtains, the courtyard, the colors of the embroidery, the silver sockets that we have seen, today we come to what seems to be a very insignificant item in the tabernacle. But even the insignificant items are important, for they make up the tabernacle as a whole. You know, the tabernacle in the wilderness was portable. They moved it. When the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire moved, they had to move. They had to pack up the tabernacle, and it was a portable structure. The Levites and the families of Aaron had duties and each had their own responsibilities on what to pack up and what to move and how to move it. So it was a portable structure. It was constructed without nails, screws, hinges, or glue. It was built so that it could be taken apart and put back up. It was a structure so sturdy that it withstood the storms and the winds throughout the wilderness for 40 years. The winds blew upon it, the storms swept over it, the rains might have beat upon it, but it could not be moved. It was a sturdy structure. It was the most secure place in the camp of Israel, the tabernacle. So as we have seen, as the tabernacle as a whole points to Jesus Christ, and it is a great picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for humanity. So when the priest is inside the tabernacle serving and worshiping and ministering, he is a type and a figure of the believer who is in Christ. And we know those that are in Christ are safe and secure. They cannot be moved by the storms of the howling winds outside. The structural security of this tabernacle, again, is not with nails, permanent things. It was with things that were movable. Take it down, put it back up, transport it. This security, this sturdy structure, was due to some very interesting materials. The large boards of acacia wood the gold-plated crossboards that we have seen, the boards rested, though, in those silver sockets as we have talked about. It had a very secure foundation built into the silver of the sockets. The roof of the tabernacle, as we've seen last week, had those four layers of protection, impervious to wind and to rain and to the storms that raged outside. It was absolutely weatherproof, absolutely rainproof, absolutely windproof. It was sturdy. It was strong. It was secure. All of these things point to Christ. But for all of these items, all of these materials that were held, the boards and the curtains and the silver sockets and all the roofs, those are sturdy items, but it took something to hold those items down. The roof could blow off. The curtains could fall down. The pillars that surrounded the courtyard could tip over or be unbalanced, and somebody could pull one down and climb over. Something made this structure that secure, that strong. And we find it in chapter 35 of the book of Exodus. Seems like a very minimal type of item, but my, what a part it plays and how it points to the majesty of our Lord. Beginning in Exodus 35, look with me in verse 10. Exodus 35:10. "And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all the Lord hath commanded, the tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his tashes, and his boards, and his bars, and his pillars, and his sockets, the ark and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, and the table and his staves, and all his vessels, and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamps with the oil for the light, and the incense altar, and his staves, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with his brazen gate, and his staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hanging for the door of the court." Moses is saying, God has given us this pattern. Now I've given it to you. You've brought the offerings. Now let's build. We're going to build these things. And all of these things, all of these materials are going to be used to build a sturdy structure. But without the next verse, these structures would not be secure. They would fall over, they would tip over, they could be moved by the winds of the storms of life. But in verse 18 of Exodus 35, it says, "And the pins of the tabernacle, and the pins of the court, and their cords." The pins and the cords, the ropes and the nails that held the structure secure. Seems so insignificant, but without them, the tabernacle is not a secure place, and not a safe place. So if the whole Bible speaks of Christ, and every object within the tabernacle speaks of Christ, how do the tent pins and how do the cords in the tabernacle speak of Him? Aren't they just nails and rope? No, they're much more than that. The tabernacle was secured in place by these nails. If you turn over to Exodus 27, we will see just one more detail of these nails, these pins. Exodus 27 and verse 19, the Bible says, "And all the vessels of the tabernacle and all the services thereof and all the pins thereof and all the pins of the court shall be of brass." So they're made of brass, which we know speaks of judgment in the Bible. These pins, these nails that secure the tabernacle in place, and the linen cords that are tied to these pins, as the nails were driven into the ground, the cords were stretched over the outer covering of the badger skin, which was the uppermost roof of the tabernacle structure. They held the pillars and the columns in place. They held the linen curtains down in place. It was a secure place because of the pins and the cords. Everything tied together securely Much like today, we would use tent stakes and string to hold a tent in the ground. The purpose of these pins and these cords was the tabernacle was still further made secure by a large number of these pins driven deeply into the ground all around the tabernacle proper. Ropes were passed tightly over the roof of badger skin and secured to the pins on each side and back of the tabernacle. So you get the picture. You got these cords running over the roof. You got these cords coming down and being tied to these pins, and the pins are driven into the ground. You have the picture of the columns that went around the courtyard that held up the tent, the curtains, and all those columns are secure to the ground so they would not move. And then the curtains are secure by these ropes and pins. These ropes were attached to the tent pins in the ground and made the entire structure absolutely rigid and secure. The priests then, inside, serving the Lord, ministering to the Lord inside of the tabernacle, were absolutely secure because the tabernacle itself was secure. They didn't have to worry about the roof blowing off. They didn't have to worry about the curtains blowing down or the columns falling on them. They knew they were secure. The believer in Christ is also secure, for he is secure in Christ. And the tabernacle is a picture of Christ, so we are secure in Christ. These nails, these pins, the Bible calls them, brass pins, is a word that can be translated not only pin, but nail. And it is done that. If you look over in the book of Judges, we will see an instance, an occurrence of this word. In Judges chapter 4, beginning in verse 21, Judges 4:21, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail, that word nail is the same used in Exodus 35 for pins, took a nail of the tent and took an hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. This is not just if we can't have in our minds an image of this brass pin for the tabernacle as some little safety pin, as some little tack. It was a nail. It was a spike. It was a stake that would be driven into the ground, driven deep into the ground to secure the tabernacle. They wouldn't use just some little 10-penny nail. They made the biggest thing from the pattern God told them, and these nails, these pins they drive into the ground to secure the tabernacle would have been substantial quality and size. Here the same word is used, and we see that it killed this man because of the size and the sheer volume of force that went into this. If you look at verse 21, and behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. This isn't just a little pin. This is a mighty stake, a mighty nail. As I read that, it went through his temples. If you look over in chapter 5 of Judges, in verse 26, she put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera, and she smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. And that's with the nail. So you get the picture. She's holding it and smiting the hammer, striking the nail with the hammer. It is a substantial nail. Same nail is used for the tabernacle. In Isaiah, we also see the word pin translated not nail this time, but stake. S-T-A-K-E. It's used as the word stake. So we don't want to think of this word as some small pin, but a large brass stake driven deeply into the ground, able to withstand force, able to withstand pressure, able to be pushed into the ground with such extreme that it will not come out. The first thing that is suggested by these brass nails is security. They were used to securely attach and fasten the tabernacle and its court to the earth. So secure was it fastened that we never, never in the Scriptures read that it was ever slightly disturbed as the tabernacle moved by the winds and the storms. All the strong, warm, strong winds that must have endured that brunt of the tabernacle as it came and it forced against it. Never do we read that Israel's sojourn had to stop and remake the tabernacle or go find the pieces of the tabernacle. They were secure by these brass nails. Many of the things that inside that were placed inside the tabernacle, the showbread, little things, the showbread, the candles, the oil, the incense and the censers, all of these could have been easily swept away by the wind. But we never read in the Scriptures they were ever moved by the winds. Why? Because they were secure. Isaiah chapter 22 gives us a great picture that we can now apply our understanding of these brass nails to Christ. In Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 23, the Word of God helps and reveals to us a little bit more. Isaiah 22 and verse 23, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house, and they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, and all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to the vessels of flagons. So you look at verse 23, I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. It speaks of Christ. Christ is spoken of here compared to the nail. The pins or the nails therefore point to Jesus Christ in securing the place of the believer in Himself. Not in the earth, not in the world, not in some concrete mix, but He secures the believer in Himself. And who can move Christ? No one. These pins were made of brass, resistant. Brass is resistant to rust. Brass is resistant to corrosion, not affected by the elements. They speak of the incorruptible life of Jesus Christ. The pins were hammered into the ground, but a portion was left above the ground. That's what the cord was tied to, that portion that was above the ground. The portion of the pins below the ground that is hammered into the ground to secure the structure symbolized Christ's death and His burial. The portion above the ground, though, symbolizes Christ's resurrection and His life. And the good news of the gospel is not only the cross, it's not only the death of Christ for sinners, but it is also the resurrection of Christ. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior. So the pins that are buried in the earth are important, for they symbolize the death and the burial of our Lord. But the portion that is above the ground, that the cords are going to be tied to, symbolize His life, His resurrection after His death. And that, my friend, is what the cord's tied to. And the cord is tied to our risen Savior. Our hope is not in a dead Savior. Our hope is in a living Savior. Then we come to the linen cords. Every time in the passages that in the Old Testament that it speaks of these pins, these tabernacle pins, these tabernacle nails, anytime it is referred to in the Bible of the tabernacle pins, you will always see they are made of brass and they were always inseparable from the linen cords. It say tabernacle pins, it would say tabernacle cords, or the pins and the cords. They were like peanut butter and jelly. You can't have one without the other. They were together there, together, always through the Scriptures, the ropes, or the cords and the pins, the cords and the pins. Wherever there was a cord, there was a nail. Where there was a nail, there was a cord. The cords were fastened to the nails and stretched over the coverings of the roof, stretched over the tabernacle pillars and held down in one place, over the curtains. The cords were that instrument that were attached to the nails, holding everything tightly together, holding the whole house of God tightly together, making it secure and complete. So what do these cords represent? These cords set forth the drawing. You think of the cord as you draw it, you pull it. The cords represent the drawing and the holding power of our Lord and His mighty love for His own. So, well, that's a stretch. I don't think so. Look over in the book of Hosea with me. In the minor prophets, the first minor prophet, Hosea, look in the 11th chapter. In Hosea chapter 11 and verse number 4, the Word of God says, I drew them with cords of a man and bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love. You think of that bands of love, you have to go to 2 Corinthians. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, thinking of these linen cords that are showing forth the drawing and the holding power of our Lord and His mighty love for His children. You look at 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of God constraineth. That word constraineth, do you know what that means? Holds together. Constraineth means to be held together, to hold together. For the love of Christ, what holds us to Christ? Not our love for Him. It's His love for us. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. We are not drawn to Christ because of held together by the love of Christ for us. For we have all types of love in our lives, and we can be pulled away from Christ with loves of things, love of money, love of pride, love of the world, love of another. We can be pulled aside from Christ because of those loves. But Christ's love is consistent, constant for us, never changing. And He draws us and holds us by the cords of His love. If our union with Christ depended on our love for Him, then when the winds of circumstance would blow, we would just be blown away. Maybe not in your life, but in mine. If my love for Him depended on me staying with Him, consistent, faithful, and then the winds come in our lives, the storms come in our lives, we could be blown away, blown asunder, blown off into the wild blue. Not Christ's love. It's consistent. It's constant. Never changing. It is His unchanging love for the church that holds the church together. It is His unchanging love that holds the believer. The cords of love by which He draws us to Himself are powerful cords. And they're revealed in our crucified Savior. Go back and read John chapter 12 sometime and see how the cords of love bind us. The love of Christ for us is what held Him on the cross. He wanted to obey the Father. He wanted to complete the will of the Father. But He loved us. What does John 3:16 say? Right? God loves us. Christ loves us so much that He was willing to stay on that cross, endure the pain, endure the mockery, endure the sin placed upon Him. Why? Because of His love for us. Now, if that had been any of us, we'd say, take me down. I give up. Right? But not God's love. Someone has suggested that the nails of brass speak of our Savior's great and glorious person, and the cords speak of His work, and the two can never be separated. Another person has suggested the nails refer to His accomplishments for us, and the cords refer to the Spirit's work binding all together, for they work together, the Son and the Spirit and the Father. The cords tied to the nails bound together as one all the parts of the tabernacle and secured everything. You know, it is the same today. The crucified Christ, the risen Christ, the nail in the sure place secures all the blessings of grace and salvation for all that come unto Him. They're not varied. They're not unsecure. They're always secure in Christ. The Holy Spirit applies the work of Christ to the redeemed, securing in our hearts the grace of the Lord and the earnest of our salvation, as it talks about in the Holy Spirit. His earnest. All that are in Christ are born of the Spirit, are we not? And they work together to bind us and to hold us and secure us. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, Satan is going to come and cause doubts. Oh, you didn't do it right. Or you didn't really mean it. Or it didn't take effect. Or you can't be saved. Think of what you've done. Satan is right there to cause doubt in your mind. That's why we need to assure believers from the Scriptures that they are secure in Christ. Not because of themselves. Not because of anything they have done. They are secure in Christ. What a glorious picture. I come back and see, if I step in through the door of the tabernacle, I am in Christ. I can stand outside that door all I want, but if I've never entered in, I'm not in Christ. I'm out here trying to secure myself in the world with the winds blowing upon me, and I'm not secure. I'm anything but secure. But once I step in through the door, which is Christ, into Christ, I'm secure in Him. And without the ropes, the cords, without the pins, that structure could be blown down. But no, God is a pattern to show us our security in Christ. The portion above ground of the pin does not symbolize or point to the life of Christ before the cross, but to the life of Christ after the cross, to His resurrection. For if it pointed to His life before the cross, we're trying to hold on to His perfect life as it was perfect. I want to hold on to His resurrected life. The resurrection of Christ meant that every sin had been paid for, and God had accepted the sacrifice. No more sacrifice was needed. And God had accepted this for all mankind. All of this is taught by these brazen brass pins of the tabernacle. And to these they were attached the cords that held down the building securely. But remember that the ropes were tied not to the part of the pin that was buried, but to the part that was above ground. The upper part is the resurrected Christ, and we can place our hope only in a living, resurrected Lord who indeed died and was buried, but also rose again and lives today. So what was the purpose of the tent pins and the cords? Hopefully now you have the answer. They typify our Lord Jesus Christ, who by His accomplishments, by His Spirit, secures the everlasting salvation of those who place their faith and trust in Him. And He holds everything together with His love. Because He is our mighty nail in a sure place. And He is our linen cord of love that constrains us, all is well. God's tabernacle cannot be moved. not by any wind of adversity, not by any attack of heresy, not by any flood of iniquity. God's tabernacle is secure. And what is God's tabernacle in the age of grace? We are His tabernacle. Does the Bible tell us that we are His tabernacle? Look, one last place in Isaiah chapter 33. In Isaiah 33, we have one last thought that I pray will glorify the Lord. Isaiah 33 and verse 20. Look upon Zion, the city of our Solomon's. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Notice, not one of the stakes, same word, pins, nails, stakes, not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. We are secure in Christ if you have accepted Christ as your Savior. There is no chance of you losing your salvation. There is no chance of God saying, oh, you're no longer saved. There's no chance of us saying, we're no longer saved. If you have placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are secure forever in Christ. For the Bible teaches us, if we do what Christ tells us to do, what the Scriptures teach us about salvation, we shall have everlasting life. One day we're going to live forever with our Father in heaven, with the Son in heaven, with the Holy Spirit in heaven. For all of eternity, we will be with Him. I pray that you know Jesus as your Savior. For only He is the one that can secure you. Not any other religion, not any other person, not any other figure, not any kind of object. Only Christ can secure you for all of eternity. I pray that you know Him. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this lesson. Thank you for letting me not rush over this simple item, it seems, in the Scripture, and what valuable truth it gives us of the security of the believer. As we can picture now in our mind's eye, as we think on a tent blowing in the wind, it must have those cords, it must have those stakes holding it down, securing it. Help us now to have those thoughts in our mind as we come across storms in our lives, knowing we are secure in Christ. And it's because of His love. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. God, now in the next services, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would have free reign among our hearts and lives and help us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.